0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Southampton close in on the signing of Joe Aribo. Rangers are finalising a deal for Antonio Colak, and Celtic are in action right now in their first pre-season friendly. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Roger Hannah.
Yeah, and with just over half an hour gone in Austria, Celtic 4-0 to the good. Quite a young experimental team from Ange Postecoglou. Most of the international players getting a bit more time off just to hone their fitness ahead of the weekend game against Rapid Vienna. But it's all going very well for them in the early stages.
Yeah. Yeah, as you say, 4-0 up. Mikey Johnson setting up Johnny Kenny for the opener. James Forrest then setting up Rio Hatate at the edge of the box, who found the bottom corner to make it 2. A further 2 goals, Mikey Johnson and Johnny Kenny with his second to make it 4-0. It has been, I think it's fair to say, very routine so far. Roger, maybe one of those friendlies that you say is all about the fitness.
Yeah, listen, the whole trip's all about the fitness. Any manager will tell you that about the pre-season campaigns. I think they want the players to get through untroubled by injuries to get the fitness ready, and the result, you know, Celtic are 4-0 up after half an hour. The result doesn't matter at all. It's all about getting everything ready, all the players ready for the start of the big stuff at the end of the month.
Yeah, it's an interesting lineup for Celtic. I'll read you that out. Joe Hart starting in goal. It's Osaze Oregide, Christopher Julian, Boson Lowal, and Alexandro Bernabe coming in for his first game. That's the back four. Then James McCarthy, Yosuke Idiguchi, and Rio Hatate, the midfield three. James Forrest, Mikey Johnson, and young Johnny Kenny making up the front line. So plenty of players in there that will want to catch Ange Postecoglou's eye. Of course, another couple of huge stories today as well. Joe Aribo is on his way to Southampton. That deal is getting ever closer, and Rangers finalising a deal for Antonio Colak. So if you've got any thoughts on any of these stories, 0141 951 1025, or you can send us a tweet at ClydeSSB. Plenty going on in the world of football. No other big news stories are going on today anyway, Roger, so it's all about Scottish football.
Yeah, I'm just waiting, maybe in the second half Celtic will hit number 10.
Exactly, yes. It looks as if it may well get that way. 4-0, just over half an hour gone. We will keep you updated on exactly what is happening over in Austria in that game. As I say, 0141 951 1025, if you've got anything on your mind. Let's focus on that Joe Aribo story, because he's close to sealing a move to Southampton. Looks as if he'll move for a package totalling around £10 million. There'll be a sell-on clause included in that deal as well. The midfielder, of course, has played 149 times for the Ibrox side, arrived for around £300,000 in 2019, scored 26 goals for them, the last of those, of course, coming in the Europa League final in May. We felt that there was going to be movement when it came to Joe Aribo at some point this summer. There felt like there had to be, because he had a year left on his contract, Roger, and it looks as if that movement will be south of the border.
Yeah, listen, Rangers fans can call in tonight and contest this statement, Andrew, but I'm looking at social media today, and I think broadly Rangers fans are of the opinion that Joe Aribo arrived from Charlton for £300,000. He served Rangers very well in those 149 games, whatever it was you said. Finished last season up front, scoring in a European final, winning a Scottish Cup, and is going to leave for something in the region of £10 million. This is the trading model that Rangers are hoping to adopt, that Ross Wilson has spoken about quite a few times. Get players in for low sums, i.e. £300,000 from Charlton, and get a good 2 or 3 years out of them, and then move them on for big sums, i.e. £10 million to Southampton. So Rangers will be looking not only to do this deal, but to do deals like this in the years to come.
Yeah, Rangers have faced criticism for not having that trading model in place and it not really working over the last few years. They've not had those big money sales that Celtic have had over the years, but the Rangers board and the Rangers staff will be happy that this is the evidence that it's coming to fruition, and possibly that could happen with a few more deals this summer, potentially with Alfredo Morelos and Ryan Kent also running out of contract in the next year.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see how all this shakes down. Conor Goldson was out of contract until he signed a new 4-year deal to stay, so I think it would be foolish for us to rule out anything. You know, could Morelos, could Kent stay and sign extended contracts? We don't know. This Aribo deal, though, gives Rangers a bit of scope now to go out. They've spent the majority of the summer bringing in young 15, 16, 17 year olds into the B team. These are the guys, the likes of Cameron Bell, Zach Lovelace, people like that, that they're hoping can become the next Joe Aribo a few years down the line. But the here and now is that there's only John Souter that's arrived. Antonio Colac's coming into town tonight, we think, to do a medical and become the second signing. Their Abel cash will give Rangers a bit more scope to go and get players that will go straight into Giovanni Van Bronckhorst's first team.
I think it's fair to say Rangers could have got more money for Joe Aribo previously, just based on his contract situation. The fact that it's, you know, now a year to go is maybe a reduced deal on what Rangers could have previously got. But the fact that, you know, he played his part last season, he helped Rangers get to a European final, you don't think Rangers will be too annoyed at all that they're maybe not getting the maximum amount of money that they could have got for him over his time at the club?
Oh, I think it's a good deal they're getting for, you know, Joe Aribo. If they'd let Joe Aribo go any sooner, Andrew, who on earth would have played up front at the end of last season? You know, the Rangers really needed Joe Aribo, and Joe Aribo did a very good job for them up front, not just in Seville when he scored that goal against Eintracht in the Europa League final. He led the line well on numerous occasions when Morelos and Roof were out injured. He's done a terrific job for Rangers. He will be fondly remembered by the Rangers support, and when the deal's done, Rangers get an awful lot of money for him.
Well, what do you think at home? 01419511025. Let's speak to Billy, who's a Rangers fan in Clydebank. Billy, what do you make of that deal for Joe Aribo?
Yeah, I think it's a smashing deal, Andrew. Thank you for putting me on, and I hope yourself and Rogers okay.
You too, Billy, thanks.
My first thoughts, obviously, is to the goalie, and I would like to pay my respects to the goalie and offer my condolences to his family, his friends and his colleagues.
Yeah, well said, Billy. We've had a lot of callers over the past couple of days, Roger, paying tribute to Andy Gorham, and I'm sure you'd like to add to that as well.
Yeah, I mean, we can only offer our own condolences on the show, myself included, to Andy's family and his friends at this terrible time. I see in the last couple of hours the club have announced details of funeral arrangements for Andy. I think it's a week on Monday the 18th at Wellington Church in the West End. There's going to be a minute's silence in the Algarve at the weekend ahead of the Sunderland friendly, which is Rangers' first game since Andy's sad passing. And I think there's going to be a wreath laying ceremony ahead of the West Ham game, which I think is the first return to Ibrox since Andy's passing. Some wonderful tributes paid. Chick Charnley on this show on Monday night, among them, numerous Rangers greats, Richard Goff, Ali McCoy, Sergeant Oaks, many, many people telling great stories. And you can see how fondly, as Billy is saying just now, how fondly the goalie was remembered. And I think, you know, the whole of Scottish football passes on its condolences.
Yep, nice words, Billy. What else was it that you wanted to touch on?
It's a bit Joe Aribo. I would just like to thank Joe Aribo for the way he's conducted his business at Rangers. Obviously, he's been with us since 2019, and I think he's done a great job, especially last season. The first half of the season, he was fantastic. He came back after the break in January and all that, and he was having a wee downslide, so we say. But towards the end of the season, I mean, he stepped up, and he played out of position, and he was doing fantastic. But the thing that got me was he came out and said to Rangers, no, he didn't want a new contract and he wasn't going to extend his contract, which let Rangers come in, and then Southampton's come in, obviously, and done that, which I think is a great bit of business for Rangers. And I'd like to thank Rangers and all for doing the business so quickly. A lot of clubs might have just said, listen, wait till January, and it would go on a free contract. But no, Rangers have stepped up. And I think I wish Joe Aribo all the best.
Yeah, how important is that, Roger, that, you know, on the 6th of July, that this looks as if it's going to be concluded very quickly? Because these things can maybe drag out throughout the whole summer. If Rangers are then able to know that Joe Aribo is away, they know what money they're getting for him, and it allows them to plan for the rest of the summer.
Absolutely, yeah. But you're better a deal happening on the 6th of July than you are on 6 p.m. on the 31st of August, when you don't have any time to go and get a replacement, or you're forced into just taking someone on loan that you might not really want. It gives Giovanni Van Bronckhorst and Ross Wilson plenty of time. But interesting to see what they do with the money. They need a striker, so Colac's coming in by the looks of things to give them a bit more depth in that position. Probably need somebody in the right side of the attack, you would think. With Aribo going, is that creative midfielder that is maybe required as well? It'll be interesting to see where Rangers prioritise. Centre of defence, Souter's already in, and Goldson staying, and goal, McGregor's staying, so there's not that real desperate need to go and get a goalkeeper. It'll be interesting to see where they prioritise next.
Billy, are you hoping that this deal now sort of sparks the start of Rangers' proper business in the transfer market?
I think so, yeah, obviously, because they've signed a few young players and all the rest of it, and they've extended contracts, obviously, with senior players, but we still need backup. I mean, God forbid if anything happens to Alfredo Morelos or Roof. I mean, we are short up front. And I see Hadji was in training, well, according to social media, Hadji's in training, but we don't know how long that's going to take. So we do need a right-side player. And I think Rangers need to go out and do the good business. And hopefully, come the start of the season, we'll be in a better position and we'll be able to fight for that. We'll be able to fight for the title again.
Yeah, just before I put that to Roger, Celtic have scored a fifth. It looks as if it was Christopher Julien. It was a Johnny Kenny header that came off the post that came back. And Johnny Kenny looked as if he had an easy header, actually, to put in for his hat-trick. But Christopher Julien sort of rose above him and got his goal there to make it five. We'll speak a bit more about that when it's half-time, a couple of minutes to go of the first half in that game. But Billy talking there about Rangers' business and what they need to do, Roger.
Yeah, but as we said, it'll be really interesting to see where Giovanni Van Bronckhorst prioritises the signings. I think, you know, defensively, they look reasonably secure. Suter and Goldson there. Hylander will be fit again for the start of the season. Calvin Bassey was a revelation in the last months of last season. Tavernier's the captain on the right-hand side. So defensively, they look well set. Look in front of that, Lundstrom and Jack emerged as a sort of first-pick midfielders in there. It's in front of that, Andrew. You wonder, you know, there are doubts about Kent and Morelos. There have to be, because there's only a year left in their contracts, as you touched upon. Hadji isn't going to be fit for the start of the season. He's working hard back home, and the rest of the squad are in Portugal. But you could be looking September, October. You know, that's the sort of 8 or 9 months from the ACL injury against Stirling Albion in the Cup. That's just a normal time to come back. I think it's those front four, if you like, with Aribo gone. That's where the manager, for me, needs to prioritise. Be interesting to see who he brings in.
Yeah, Celtic have just scored a sixth as well. James Forrest scoring that goal there just a minute or so after Christopher Julien had scored. But with Joe Aribo leaving, he was such a key player for Rangers over the season, played about 50 matches. When you've got a player that not only plays that many matches, but is so versatile, yeah, and plays in so many positions, he's going to be a tough player to replace. But then Giovanni Van Bronckhorst might see that as an opportunity to buy a player in the mould of exactly what he wants to do in the squad going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I remember Aribo going back to left back, I think, for a European game against Braga a couple of years ago and scoring a fantastic goal from that area of the pitch. He was versatile, he was talented, he was popular with the Rangers fans. They will miss him when he goes, but the transfer fee is crucial to Rangers to reinvest and to bolster the squad, because, you know, it needs bolsters. There were players gone, you know, Diallo's away, Ramsey's away, Balogun's gone. They need more. Cedric Eaton, another striker who's left the building. So Rangers will need, even when Colak comes in, I think they'll need at least two or three more in this window.
Billy, when it comes to Alfredo Morelos and Ryan Kent, who find themselves in the same position as Joe Aribo, where do you see their futures? Are you hopeful that Rangers will be able to hold on to them, or do you fear that it may go the way of Joe Aribo?
I think Morelos is going the same way as Aribo. Kent, I think he'll stay. Hopefully we'll get an extension contract on him. But I think Morelos, again, has been a fantastic servant for the club. But I think if somebody comes in with the right fee for him, Rangers can't turn that back. Especially beginning into the last year of the contract.
That's what it comes to, Roger, isn't it? It's all about the right fee coming in for a player. And look, Morelos and Kent may turn around and say they want to stay at Rangers and they may sign an extended contract. But if they don't, or they don't want to, then Rangers may have to sit down and say, right, what is the fee we're looking for this player, and then go out and see what happens.
You know, in Billy's opinion there, Morelos could go, Kent may stay. Another Rangers fan might say, well, I think Kent will go and Morelos may stay. The reality of it is that you're really at the sort of mercy of clubs coming in for these players. It's not really Rangers' decision to make a lot of the time. You know, there's interest in Aribo from Southampton, so they try and negotiate a deal. thus far, in this window, there hasn't really been that interest in Kent or Morelos. Has been in the past. I remember Leeds United very keen, a couple of bids knocked back for Kent. There was foreign interest in Morelos as well, and bids knocked back. But in this window, Rangers are still sitting back. No bids that we know of for Kent or Morelos. It'll be interesting to see how it develops.
Yeah, for talking sake, if Rangers are able to get a similar fee than they got for Joe Aribo, for Alfredo Morelos and Ryan Kent, it would leave them with quite a lot of money, and Giovanni Van Bronckhorst a lot of money to do with the squad what he wants.
Yeah, but quite a lot of work to do as well. It's interesting, you know, the recruitment department has lost Andy Scoulding to Tottenham. I think John Park, once of Celtic, is coming into that recruitment department. Ross Wilson will be super busy between now and the 31st of August. And that's even if Kent and Morelos stay until then. If you imagine Kent and Morelos, as you say, going, I think Rangers would need, in that case, four or five players to come in, Andrew.
Well, thank you to Billy. It's now half time in that Celtic match. They're away in Austria playing against Wiener Victoria. They're 6-0 up at half time. The goals in that game, two from Johnny Kenny. There's been a goal from Rio Hatate, one from Mikey Johnson, one from Christopher Julian, and one from James Forrest as well. Alexandro Bernabe making his debut in that game. We'll look at that a bit more in depth after the break, and we'll also look at the situation with Antonio Colak as well. So if you've got any thoughts on that, give us a call on 0141 951 1025.
The voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna here with me, Andrew McLean, in the second part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 0141 951 1025 on the phones, or you can send us a tweet at Clyde SSB. That's what Empire's done, and he's correcting us, Roger. Apparently it's Colak, Antonio Colak, and not Colak. So glad we can get that one sorted before the start of the season.
I bow to his greater Croatian pronunciation.
Yes, thank you very much for that one, Empire. But you can give us a call, 0141 951 1025. Let's take a quick look at that friendly that's going over in Austria at the moment. Celtic up against Wiener Victoria. As I told you before the break, it's half time at the moment. Celtic cruising at 6-0 up. I think they are in the fourth tier of Austrian football. This is, I know a lot of managers and clubs like to start their pre-season with a bit of an easier friendly, Roger, to ease things in, and this one certainly looks as if it's one of those ones. Celtic with a much changed starting lineup than you'd normally see under Postecoglou. Hart in goals, it's Urigide, Julian, Lawal and Bernabe, the back four, McCarthy, Idiguchi and Hatate, the midfield three with Forrest, Johnston and Kenny, the front three. But plenty of players in that squad that'll be looking to impress Ange Postecoglou in the next few weeks in that Austrian training camp and leading up to the new season.
Absolutely. I think there's about 8 or 9 of the youngsters have been taken out of Lennox down to go and supplement what we would regard as the first team squad, Andrew. But I think the quality of opposition will take something of a leap after tonight. It's Rapid Vienna at the weekend, and Banik Ostrava in the Czech Republic next midweek. There are home games against Blackburn, Norwich. There's the Arthur Boruch game over in Warsaw against Legia. So tonight they are running riot against Wiener Victoria. After tonight, I think, and Postecoglou will be pleased at this, the standard of opposition will go up.
Yeah, Christopher Julian starting this game, he scored. He'll maybe feel as if he's got a point to prove because he was nearly out the door last week. It looked as if a move to Schalke was on. It was then off. He's now playing. I think he put up an Instagram post the other day with a picture of him over in Austria that had the word "seize the moment" on it. He's maybe hoping or thinking that he can play his way back into Postecoglou's plans while he's over in Austria.
Yeah, it's been a really strange one. Christopher Julian was established as a Celtic first team centre half before that injury, scored the winning goal in a League Cup final, if you remember, against Rangers. And then just, you know, it seemed an innocuous thing at the time, you know, smashed into the post against Dundee United, and he was out for such a period of time. And when he finally got fit, couldn't get near the side, you know, through no fault of his own. It was Starfield and Carter Vickers were doing well. Celtic were on the way to the title. They'd already won the League Cup. He couldn't get back into the team at all. It didn't surprise me that was interest in him in the summer when he went over to Germany. You just assume the deal is going to get done, Andrew. And I was quite surprised when it fell through at the last minute. But the ball is back in his court. It's up to him to convince Ange Postecoglou that he's a better bet than Carter Vickers or Starfield. I think he might have his work cut out trying that.
Yeah, and Alexandro Bernabe making his first start for the club as well. He almost scored actually in the first half, a shot across the face of goal that was tipped just wide. But he'll be a player that's keen to get out on the pitch and show what he can do, and Ange Postecoglou will hope that he can get him plenty of game time in pre-season to try and get him to adapt to European football quickly, because we don't often see players coming directly from South America straight into Scottish football. I think the last one that went from directly from South America to Celtic anyway was Rafael Schaeit, which was a long, long time ago.
And listen, you've never seen one come in from Argentina before. First ever Argentinian to play for the club. He spoke well, albeit through the interpreter, on Friday at Celtic Park. He looks up for it and seems extremely enthusiastic. And Celtic must fancy him. He signed a 5-year deal. They've paid over £3 million to get him. He will go into a tussle with Greg Taylor for that left-back role. I think Celtic felt they needed more competition along with Greg in that area of the field. And it's now up to him. All you can do is give these lads a platform, bring them over, and see if they can, you know, talk the talk.
Well, any thoughts on this or anything else, give us a call, 01419511025. We talk about Burnaby adapting to Scottish football and adapting to Celtic. Two players that won't have that problem are Cameron Carter-Vickers and Jota, and that's the beauty of having them in last season and then bringing them in permanently.
That's
now
the thing. We spoke about this at the end of last season, and I said I thought Celtic's transfer priorities in the summer should be permanent deals for Jota and Carter-Vickers. Any deal you do, Andrew, whether it's Burnaby, whether it's Colak, whether it's, you know, whoever else comes in, there's always an element of gamble bringing players into the football club, and you minimise that gamble when you go for guys like Jota and Carter-Vickers, who you've seen on loan, you know can handle it, you know can, you know, excel in the Celtic shirt, can win things. So it was obvious for me that they should go and get the two of them. Yes, they had to pay an awful lot of money, £12.5 million, to get them in, but I think that's what, you know, wise spending, the Celtic.
Well, let's hear from you. 01419511025. Frank is a Rangers fan up next in the city centre. Frank, what are you making of Joe Aribo's imminent move to Southampton?
I think it's, before I go any further, I want to pay condolences to Andy Gorham, the people round about him. Andy was known at Ibrox as the flying pig, but what a goalkeeper. The best, simpler the best. That's all I'm going to say about him. Simpler
nice
the
words,
best.
Frank.
Joe Aribo, I want to thank Joe Aribo because he's conducted himself brilliantly. We've seen him from his first game and he's come on tons. He's going to be an even better player, and I'm pretty sure that we'll use the money to bring in the best young players that are available and build a team again, a real team, because that's the way forward for Rangers. Bringing in the best young players in Europe, seeing them through and letting them go to new clubs, and we can have an add-on fee so that we benefit from their success.
Sadly, Roger, I think the best young players in Europe maybe aren't coming to the Scottish Premiership, but I completely get what Frank is meaning, that he wants good young players, that Rangers can do what they did with Joe Aribo. Bring them in for a fee that's a reasonable fee, develop them, and then sell them on in the future.
Yeah, and listen, maybe the next one to go might be his Nigeria teammate, Calvin Bassey, who came in from Leicester City for next to nothing and was probably the most improved player at Ibrox last season. Finished the season terrifically well in that Europa League final and Scottish Cup final. Did very well against Celtic in the Scottish Cup semi-final, if you remember, when it went to extra time and he set up the winning goal. So he could be the next one. And then, you know, you hear Ross Wilson and also Craig Mulholland, the academy director out there, discussing this, that it is part of the strategy. Not necessarily the best players in Europe, but certainly very promising, talented players from around Britain. You look at the way they've targeted players to come into the academy, to come into the B team this summer. The lad Lovelace from Millwall, the lad Bell from Everton that come up. There's other ones from Partick Thistle and Cali Thistle and Glentoran. So they have been going around hoovering up all these talented teenagers with the view to developing them for a year or two and then moving them on for substantial sums. And they do it through the academy as well. Just think of Nathan Patterson in January.
Frank, what's next then with this Joe Aribo money? What positions in particular do you think are the priority?
Well, we've got some cracking young players coming through. Alec Lowry, just to mention. I think we need a marquee signing, somebody who can really do their thing. But no, one or two players, no more, because I think the young players are ready to come through, and it's looking good for the future.
How much of an impact do you think Alex Lowry will have, Roger, this season? We saw him get a good bit of game time towards the end of last season. With Joe Aribo's exit, the two are obviously playing in similar positions. Can you see this being, you know, a trigger for Alex Lowry getting even more game time next season? And was that going to happen anyway, just given his sort of progression at the moment?
So much of it's going to be up to Alex Lowry. If he continues the rate of development, you could throw in Leon King in there as well, Andrew. If they are impressing the management team at the training ground every day, yes, they will be involved. I know they were very keen to get Alex Lowry tied down. Newcastle were among the English teams looking to take him down south. Likewise, you know, they get Leon King in a new deal because Aston Villa and Man United were eyeing him as well. So these are clearly quality young players. It's difficult in the teeth of a title fight, as you would think Rangers would be involved in next season. It takes courage to throw these young lads into the team, but if the talent is there and they convince the manager they're worth it, then they will get a shot.
Yeah, the positive signs are there because Giovanni Van Bronckhorst has included them in many squads. They both travelled out to Seville. I don't think they were on the bench, but they travelled out to Seville for the Europa League final. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst clearly rates them, and they'll feel if they can continue to put in the work that they'll get more opportunities.
Yeah, and listen, these talks would have taken place with the lads themselves, with their agents, with their families, with the club before they signed their contract extensions. And I'm sure the club would say to them, if you continue this rate of development, yeah, you'll get into the first team, you'll be involved, you'll be around the squad. And you know, it makes sense for everybody. I noticed, you know, new deals for Anfield, new deal for Davis in the summer, they will still be around, they will still be involved. But with Aribo gone and with Hadji still, you know, 2 or 3 months away from full fitness, maybe Alex Lowry does have a chance to be involved at the start of the season.
Frank, you said just one or two more signings for Rangers. Is it a case of just going for quality over quantity, just adding the final touches to the squad the way it is at the moment?
Yeah, I'm looking for a really class player. Whether he's up front or whether he's midfield, that's the two areas, even a winger, but somebody who that we can look to and say, this is the finished guy, this guy's up for it, he looks a good player. That's all I think they need. I don't think you need to make wholesale changes. I don't.
Yeah, I mean, Rangers haven't really lost many players from the squad that was there last season. Cedric Itten has been sold. It looks as if he's going to be replaced by Antonio Colak. You've then got Leon Balogun, who left, but he's replaced by John Souter. So Frank's saying there that he doesn't think it's an overhaul. It's just adding the final pieces there, Roger.
Yeah, I understand that. I think they would like to replace Ramsey and Diallo. They were only loan players, but loan players who were involved with that first team squad prominently towards the end of the season. Diallo, I think, started the Scottish Cup final in the last day of the season. It will only become more pressing for Rangers if the likes of Morelos and Kent follow Aribo out the door. Then it does become something of a more lengthy rebuild, if you like. But I'm sure Rangers will have had this in mind. I'm sure, you know, the new Balogun was going, therefore they had planned for Souter to come in. Itten's away, therefore Colak comes in. I would imagine there would be a list lying in Ross Wilson's top drawer that if Morelos goes, here are targets A, B and C, and if Kent goes, here are targets D, E and F for the football club in the summer.
I'm sure there'll be a lot of intrigue from Rangers fans as well, just to exactly what Giovanni Van Bronckhorst is looking for players coming in the door, because he's not had this summer transfer window yet. Yes, he had January, but he only came in just before. I think it's maybe fair to say that a lot of the deals that were done in January weren't Giovanni Van Bronckhorst signings, whereas this is now the time for him to pinpoint exactly what he wants and what he wants position.
You always think as well, the Dutch manager's coming in and he's going to raid half a dozen players out of Holland, because that was the sort of thing Paul Le Guin did at Rangers and Pedro Caixinha did it at Rangers. Dick Advocaat did it, you know, when Van Bronckhorst arrived as a player. But so far, Van Bronckhorst hasn't done that. As you say, in January, it was mainly, you know, loan signings, Ramsey and Diallo. It was the pre-contract for Souter, etc. He didn't really go and get the type of player I think we all thought he might go and get. In the summer, I have to tell you, I didn't think McGregor would stay. I didn't think Davis would stay. I thought Arfield was 50-50 to stay. But they've all stayed. So you wonder if that means Giovanni Van Bronckhorst thinks they are better than I can get if I go out into the open market and try to replace them. You wonder what he'll do, though, as we say, now that Aribo's going, what he would do if Kent and Morelos follow him out the door. And listen, I think it was Billy, the first caller, said it's great to get the deal done early. that doesn't mean anything for Kent or Morelos is necessarily going to get done early. So it could be a frantic spell before this window shuts for Rangers.
Well, thank you to Franco 141 951 1025. If you've got any thoughts, maybe you've got some thoughts on Celtic's friendly at the moment. They're 6-0 up against Wiener Victoria. It's now around 52 minutes on the clock. They have made some changes at half time. Hart, Kenny, Bernabe, Hatate and Forrest all going off. Sigrist, Ayeti, Anderson, Summers and Vata coming on. So a few youth players there. Ben Sigrist coming on for his debut, and the lesser spotted Albion Ayeti as well, who is another player that will be hoping to catch the eye.
Absolutely. I think Albion, the days of Albion Ayeti catching the eye are probably in the past, but he won't think that. You know, he will. Players always think they're going to turn the corner and, you know, catch the manager's eye. I think he's only there because Giacomakis, Kyogo, Maeda have all been given a little bit more time just to get up to match speed. And Celtic will probably want Ayeti to get some minutes in his legs, because I would imagine they'd be desperate to move him on in the summer. He's been a bit of a flop. We talked about his Swiss compatriot, Cedric Eaton, at Rangers earlier on. And Cedric Eaton wasn't a successful Rangers signing. I think they've done well to get him back out the door, and they're now looking to bring in Scholag for him. Ayeti hasn't been a successful Celtic signing. Look at Celtic signings. Kyogo, terrific, hit the ground running. Giacomakis, despite a few injury issues last season, finished up joint top scorer in the Premiership. So that's a success. Ayeti never looked like he was going to hit the heights of those two, and I think Celtic will be eager to move him out this summer.
This is a very different pre-season for Ange Postecoglou than it was last summer, isn't it? Because yeah, he now has a lot of the players that he wanted anyway, that came in last summer and came in January. It's a much more settled squad. There's less business that needs to be done this summer, and he's got a lot more clarity as well, knowing that they're straight into the Champions League group stages and don't have to play through qualifiers as well. He'll feel a lot more comfortable, you'd think, this summer than he did last summer.
I think that's the word. And the changes that have been made, you know, he's looked for that other left back for a period of time. So Bernabe has come in with Scales going out, Montgomery going out. You would expect Bolingoli to go out as well, Andrew. Sigrist probably surprised me. I thought they were content with Scott Bain as backup. Some managers like three experienced goalies, so he's come in as well. What else will they do business wise? It'll be interesting to see, because as you say, because so much was done last year, the vast majority of the squad are all in on long-term contracts. There's not the guys going out the door necessarily. Beaton, would they like a replacement for him, a direct replacement? Possibly. Rogic, a direct replacement for him as well? Possibly, although, you know, you look at that midfield, it is well packed with Turnbull and O'Reilly and Hatate and Ediguchi and McCarthy and, of course, the captain McGregor as well. But, you know, even the other two signings, Jota, he was there last year. Carter Vickers, as we said earlier on, was there last year. So there hasn't really been a huge turnover at all.
Well, let's hear from you. 0141 951 1025. Rangers, of course, closing in on the signing of Antonio Colak. We'll take a closer look at that after the break.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna here with me, Andrew McLean, in the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 0141 951 1025 on the phones, or you can tweet us at ClydeSSB. Around half an hour to go in Celtic's friendly against Wiener Victoria over in Austria. They're 6-0 up at the moment. Quite incredible the way football works, Roger, because last week Christopher Julien basically had a Schalke jersey on, and now he's wearing the captain's armband for Celtic. I know that it's only a pre-season friendly, and he will be the most experienced player on the pitch for them at the moment, but I'm not sure we'll read too much into that.
No, and he really scored a goal as well. Yep. I remember he got one of the goals in the first half. It's a bit of a stroll for Celtic. There have been a lot of changes, a lot of youngsters who Ange Postecoglou has taken to supplement the first team squad. They're out in the pitch now, and it has been a nice little stroll in the sunshine.
Yeah, a player who featured for them in pre-season last summer, Karamoka Dembele, left the club yesterday. Was that one you expected to happen this summer, just given his contract situation?
Yeah, given his contract situation, he's been extremely unfortunate with injuries, and I think successive managers have probably been extremely unfortunate as well, because I think they would have liked to have seen the best of Karamoka Dembele in a Celtic jersey. And they didn't really, because they didn't get the opportunity to. I actually thought he would end up down south, but he's moved over to France on a 4-year deal. Mm. So he's certainly going to get the platform to showcase what we believe to be considerable talents. But I mean, you'll believe myself, Andrew, we haven't seen enough of the lad to say whether he's going to fulfil all that promise he showed at 13, 14 and 15 years of age.
Yes, indeed. 6-0 to Celtic. It is half an hour on the clock. Let's go back to the phones. 01419511025. Ian is a Rangers fan in Stonehouse. Ian, what's on your mind tonight?
Hi, guys. I was just talking about young guys getting a chance in the Rangers team next season. As I said, I'm a season ticket holder, and I've seen young King playing a few times now, and he really looks the part. And I was just wondering, Giovanni has played three at the back quite a few times last season. I just wondered if he'd maybe try that this season with Connor Golson and Suter and young King.
He did it mainly in the European games, and it was John Lundstrom that sort of dropped in maybe between Goldson and Balogun, or between Goldson and Bassey at times. It didn't do it too often in the league, but that flexibility is interesting, and it'll be interesting to see if he thought, you know, Suter has been used to playing in that back three with Hearts, did it the majority of last season when he was fit. But it'll be interesting to see whether he thought, you know, if you play, as you say, Goldson, Suter and King, you would assume the width would need to come from Tavernier and Bassey. Where then do you fit in a Ryan Kent into that sort of formation? And we're assuming Ryan Kent is still going to be at the football club, but it's an interesting suggestion.
Yeah, Ryan Kent often, when Rangers switched to that three at the back, kind of played more centrally. We saw him play up there with Scott Wright at times. Is that an option you can see happening, or would you expect that Giovanni Van Bronckhorst is more likely to stick with four at the back that we saw more often?
I would think it'd be more often than not, I would think he would stick with four at the back. But he has shown that flexibility. Steven Gerrard stayed with four at the back come hell or high water, Andrew. It wasn't for changing at all. Giovanni has changed it when he's felt the need to change it. So, listen, maybe Ian's got a point. Maybe there are games, there'll be more and more games next season where you do see Rangers go with that three. And then it's interesting to see what they do further up the pitch.
You say Calvin Bassey offering that width. Is he a player just with the attributes he has that is maybe quite well suited to that left centre-back role of a back three, if that's something that Rangers were going to do going forward?
Listen, it's interesting to see. He played an awful lot at left centre-back in a four alongside Connor Goldson, and he improved markedly last season. But then you see him go to left-back, and you see the way he marauds down there against Celtic in the Cup semi-final, the way he marauds down there against Hearts in the Cup final, and you think, well, this guy's best position is left-back. If he continues the rate of development that he showed last year, it won't matter if he's a left centre back, left of a three or left of a four. Rangers will be getting bids for him.
Ian, it looks as if Joe Rebo is on his way out the door. A deal with Southampton is very close. How are you feeling about that?
I think it was almost inevitable that was going to happen. It's good business by Rangers, obviously. I was a bit surprised, as you guys were talking earlier on about Giovanni not bringing any Dutch players. I thought he'd have been looking at that league to bring in some Dutch players. Like, obviously, Dick Advocaat brought in a few Dutch players when he came. I'm quite surprised he's not done that, Giovanni.
Yeah, time will tell, Roger. Rangers may well be looking at some Dutch players going forward. It could be something that's on the mind of Giovanni Van Bronckhorst.
It could well be. And maybe in January, you know, he only came into the club in November when Steven Gerrard left. Maybe by January he wasn't quite ready to start going and getting players on big money, permanent deals. Noticeable deals that were done were sort of loan deals in January. So he's maybe just hanging back. There is still, I know we're very impatient, we want all the business done nice and early so we can talk about it in the show. There is still 7 weeks of this transfer window to go. He's maybe hanging back to get a feel for what's happening with Morelos, what's happening with Kent, what's happening with other guys in the squad. It's interesting to see some movement down south. It's quite early for big movement down south. Usually a lot of those clubs hang back to decide what players are available, you know, who's about, who they're willing to let go. Could Diallo come back up from Manchester United once Erik ten Hag gets a look at him down there? Would they be willing to let him go? Is that one that Giovanni Van Bronckhorst might want to bring back? He did start him, as we said, in the Scottish Cup final, so there's a long time of this window to go.
Ian, another deal that looks very close is Antonio Colak coming to Rangers from PAOK. Is that a signing you're looking forward to?
Well, we definitely need some support for it. up front after the carry on at the end of the season with nae Morelos, he's nae Roof, to play a European final without a centre forward, so you really need somebody in.
Yeah, he looks as if he is going to be the replacement Roger for Cedric Itten, who came in, we talked about it earlier on, didn't quite do the job that Rangers were hoping he would. They're looking for someone that can complement Morelos and Roof and challenge for that place, and Antonio Čolak, it looks as if it will be a deal of around £2 million somewhere in that region. And it is an area, as Ian said, that Rangers needed someone last season that they didn't have.
So you can't go in, as Rangers found last season, just with two recognised centre forwards, because there's always a scope that the two of them are going to get injured, as happened unfortunately for Rangers at the end of last season. They will want a third guy in, that will be Čolak. It'll be interesting to see that, just what else he does. Scott Wright finished the season on a huge high with that goal against Hearts. He seemed to start quite well, shining in the Partick Thistle game at the training ground. He seemed to perform very well in, so maybe he's going to be a sort of bonus player again for Rangers this season. But I think there's a lot of business to be done for Rangers.
Čolak at the age of 28 doesn't fit into that player trading model that people talk about, but Rangers will be hoping they're getting someone that is a finished product that can hit the ground running.
Yeah, and listen, they can't all be 20 or 21 and 22 when you bring them in. Sometimes you just need to go for the player that you think is going to do the best job for you in it for a certain period of time. Itten was an experienced player, an international player, so when he goes, I think maybe they felt they wanted a sort of like for like replacement, and they've gotten that for Čolak, a Croatian international, vast experience across Europe and a decent goal scoring record.
Well, thank you to Ian. That's all we've got time for in terms of calls tonight. Celtic still 6-0 up. Owen Moffat coming on for Mikey Johnston there over in Austria. Another quick story I wanted to touch on, Roger. Kilmarnock youngster Charlie McArthur has completed his move to Newcastle, made his debut last season at the age of 16. But this is becoming a lot more common, isn't it, that players at the age of 16, 17 are getting poached by big clubs down south?
Yeah, a lot of it's to do with the Brexit regulations. You know, the big English clubs down there can't go and hoover up players from the continent the way they have been doing in recent years. They're forced to look up here. You look at Ben Doak going from Celtic to Liverpool, Rory Wilson going from Rangers to Aston Villa, and Charlie McArthur now, Kilmarnock to Newcastle United, Scotland youth team captain. And, you know, it'd be frustrating for Denny McInnes and Billy Bowie down there. But the reality of it nowadays is, particularly with the money that Newcastle have, you know, at their disposal, when they come calling, the players just can't say no.
Yeah, I think Denny McInnes said today, I think the quotes said that, you know, it would have been great if Charlie could have stayed and played 100 games for Kilmarnock. Yeah. But the problem is just that lure down south.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's a sort of irresistible lure. Rangers fans will say the same about young Rory Wilson, who went to Villa, I think £350,000 Rangers got. Celtic fans will say the same about Ben Doak, who did feature in the Celtic first team at times last season. He's been lured away by Liverpool. It is almost impossible for these young guys just to knock back the wealth that's on offer down there.
Well, around 20 minutes to go in Austria. Celtic still 6-0 up against Wiener Victoria. That's all we've got time for tonight, though. Thank you to Roger Hanna in the studio. Thank you for all your calls and tweets as well. Tomorrow night, you and Cameron will be in the studio for one night only with Gordon DL. And stick around tonight, because Callum Gallagher is up next.